I hope that you listen to the prayer that was just prayed. We did not collude, but it actually prepares us properly for what we're about to do. What's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? That's what we've been studying. We're coming down off of that and doing a couple of things just before we walk away from it. What's the Ten Commandments' purpose?
Shows how much we need God. We fall short.
Are they posed positively or negatively? The Ten Commandments. All but one is negative. What's the purpose of the Ten Commandments? Warning signs. Warning signs. More than anything else, it's warning signs. So if we're going to study the Ten Commandments, we can't finish until we come back to put some positives alongside of this. Some of you, when the pastor took us through the Ten Commandments last year, studied a book that took each of the Ten Commandments and turned it into something positive. That book is out there. You can read that. I'm going to try to do something else. And what I have is I have three questions. And what I want to do is take you into Scripture and see how Scripture answers those questions. We're going to do one today, and then we have two more that we'll try to do sometime soon. Here's the first one. Remember the prayer you just heard. There's the question. What pleases God? So what we're going to do is we're going to look in Scripture. You can do this for yourself if you want to. You can get concordances. That's the sort of old school way of doing it. You can get something on the internet that brings up a searchable Bible, and you can search for pleases God. Or please with a wild card, God. That way you pick up please God as well as pleases God. Different forms of saying it. If you do that, you find some very interesting things. And what I want to do this morning is take you through most of them. There's about 10 or 11 or 12, and I've got the verses written down here. Before we start, I have a change of heart having gone through the first one. Kathy, I know this is going to be a big disappointment to you, but I want to save this one for a little while. Okay? In kindergarten, my wife taught kindergarten for years, my daughter teaches kindergarten, they have this thing they do with students that they put some things out and they say, one of these things is not like the other, one of these things doesn't belong. The one you have is a little interestingly different. So don't the rest of you go look it up. She has and she knows what it is. But I'm going to save that for a moment. So I'll skip that and we'll come back to it about five or six down. The last thing is I have put these up with letters A, B, C, D. But on my list here, they're listed as numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we're going to have to make sure that we line up what the fifth number is, what the fifth letter is. Where we get that. So Chuck has Deuteronomy 12. Would you read the first one?
Jennifer's going to have to step in for me. My cheese just broke.
Oh, no.
I can't read it.
I'm sorry. Jennifer?
Deuteronomy 12:20. Be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, in order that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever. For you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God.
Okay, where this translation says, you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord. Another translation says, you will be doing what is pleasing to the Lord. And that's the theme that we're trying to pick up. So, I've just now distracted you. Let's see how your short-term memory is. What is it that pleases God that comes to us out of this verse? Listen to all these words which I command you. That's active listening, which means put them into practice. So obeying what God commands. Read the second of these verses. Let's see if it says more or less the same thing or whether it says it in a more rich way.
If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God, keeping all his commandments which I am commanding you today, and doing what is right in the sight of the Lord your God.
Now, it's interesting, it adds a piece to that. I don't know that this is different, but it's differently worded. Doing what is right. You know what's wrong. you know what's right. The Ten Commandments are trying to help you see what's wrong. Don't do those things. Okay? It pleases God when you obey His commands, when you follow His guidance. And there's a promise that comes with this one that I think was in both of the verses that Jennifer just read for Chuck. Sorry, Chuck. And that is, things are, it says in there, I think, will, but I think the better translation would be more likely to go well for you and your children. There's a heritage you can pass on to your children, raising them in an environment in which God's commands are known and followed. Okay? Let's skip number two. Kathy, that's okay with you, right? David, Colossians 1.
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all His wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
This is the one that is more packed than anything else we're going to read this morning. So I want to take a little while to see if we can get all this down. This is going to be hard, David. Can you read, and when I say stop, can you stop?
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom.
Pause. Filled with what? Wisdom and knowledge of His will. What pleases God? What pleases God includes that you are filling your lives with His wisdom, that you are growing in understanding of what He wants us to do. Start over. Yeah.
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay, sounds like there's three more. Can you catch them? Can you read the first one of those last three? That's hard work, I know.
And spiritual understanding.
Yeah.
That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God.
There's some key words. Flesh them out. What was the first one?
Being fruitful.
No, the first one.
Walk worthy.
That wasn't where he did it. He said some more words. Short-term memory. I'm just looking to see if you can. Walk worthy of the Lord. What does that mean? God is who He is. If we are His children, we should be reflecting that. In how we conduct ourselves. Notice that sort of connects back up here with doing what is right. But it says it another way. You remember what we said about the Ten Commandments that most of us think says, you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain? And I suggest you add a word. Remember what that word was?
On.
You should not take on the name of God in vain. You go to work for Martin's, you put on the shirt that has Martin's on the collar, you go to work for UPS or FedEx, you have that name on the collar, all of a sudden you're representing that company. What you do reflects on the company. You take on God's name and you don't act like it, you're bringing dishonor on the kingdom. You're thwarting. People are going to look and say, well, if that's what God's people are like, I don't know that I want to have anything to do with that. There's a piece of that. Walk worthy with the Lord. What was the next one? Fruitful. I think there was a phrase that came after that.
Fruitful in every good work.
In every good work. Fruitful in the positive things you do. Fruitful in the service that you do. And then the last one, was increasing in
the knowledge of God.
My translation says, knowing Him better and better. It pleases God when we grow in our knowledge and understanding of Him. It pleases Him when we grow in our ability to reflect positively to those who witness who we are and what we do. It pleases Him when the things that we do have good consequences, good results. There's a lot packed into that one. Now, let me say it a slightly different way because I pulled a couple of notes out of another translation. He wants us to understand what He's trying to do in our lives. He wants us to be wise with spiritual wisdom. He wants the way we live to honor and please Him, and He wants us to know Him better and better. If you feel the sense of progression in each one of those, I had a chance on Friday to attend an end of the semester gathering in the theater and dance department. I told them that I wasn't sure what I was doing there. They actually had me speaking this time because as best I can remember, I've only been in one production that involved either theater or dance in some way. Turned out it involved both. And this may be something you don't know about me, and it may help explain some things. But there was a point back there when I was in an opera, and I had one of the leads. And you have to be old enough to appreciate this, but NBC, way back when, had a Christmas special. It was written by a guy named Giancarlo Minotti. It was called A Mile of the Night Visitors. And I played the cripple boy. Since I'd had my leg smashed in a car accident the year before, I had an authentic and real limp. That wasn't a problem for me. But I had to sing and I had to do some other things. That was the only time I'd ever been there. But I watched as they were giving awards. And they gave an award to a senior. And the award they gave was for the most progress over the time there. I thought that was a great award. Except that the teacher getting ready to hug this girl says, I watched you when you, and the head kind of went like this, I watched you when you came in, and boy, look at what you've become. That's really something cool to see. Teachers really like that. That's the kind of thing that pleases God. Progress in 3, 4, 5 different areas, all packed into this little 2-verse thing. David, thank you for working with me on that. Russell, 1 Timothy.
I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Now, way back at the first, what is it that pleases God?
Praying for others.
Read it again, Russell. Just the first little bit.
I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone.
That's enough. Who are we praying for? Everybody. And who are the first ones they pick out?
For kings and all those in authority.
Who are the ones who are kings? Are the parallel to kings and those in authority for us. You want to pick a couple? President of the United States. Pick another one, slightly closer to home. The governor of the state of Virginia. About a year ago, the President of the United States spoke on my campus. Within a month, the governor of Virginia is going to be speaking on my campus. I'm hearing the same whispers that I heard when Obama was coming. The whispers are there's groups that are going to sabotage that because they just hate Obama so much. Now, McDonald's coming, and those same whispers are coming. We're going to just ruin his time here. Okay? People haven't learned this. On commencement day, when McDonald's supposed to be there to speak, the people who are supposed to keep order are the university marshals. The university marshals wear what I call racing stripes. Big dark robes, velvet lining, stripes on the sleeve, right? And I was in charge of the marshals for about 8 years, and I'm still one of the chief deputies. So I'm supposed to keep charge. I don't know what's going to happen on commencement day. But the ability to pray for somebody you don't like, take a choice which direction you want to interpret that, because they've both been exemplified on my campus recently. Take a choice which way you want to do that. The ability to pray for somebody with whom politically you may not agree, to pray for a leader who may very well be in the process of getting ready to oppress you or do some things that might harm you. This is not an idle call. Pray for everybody, and then it maybe starts with the ones that might be the hardest ones to pray for. I'm not sure of that, but it's an interesting start. It begins to echo to all those who despitefully use you, I think one translation says. Praying for everyone. Praying for everyone. And then now we flesh that out a little bit. Okay? Now, you got a sense of this, right? Here are some things that please God, right? Now, I want to call on Kathy to read hers, and I want you to see if you can tell why this one's a little different. You lost it, huh?
Well, yeah.
You didn't mark your place, huh? Give me oil in my lamp. Keep it burning. Do, 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 do.
Okay.
The power of marking your place. Okay, Galatians 1:15.
But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased.
Okay. It pleased God to choose me and call me from my birth. Boy, that one's different. That was different. Yeah, it fits beautifully with today's message. But this is not something I do that pleases God. This is something God did that God finds pleasure in. He finds pleasure in calling and choosing, even from birth, even before birth. He finds pleasure in calling and choosing. Who does he call? Who does he choose? Be careful. Let's be true to our Baptist roots here. Who does he call and who does he choose? He calls everybody. He chooses everybody. And what did Jesus say? Many are called. Few are chosen. Somehow in that process, the call goes, but not everybody responds. I heard somebody very wise one time say, when you walk into heaven, there's going to be a sign over the door. And over the door it's going to say, whosoever will may enter here. And when you get inside and look back, it says, God's elect, God's chosen. And it's the same door. It pleases God to call people. And it pleases God when people respond to that call. But the call comes. And that's a little different from the way all these others are laid out. So it's a little different. Okay, back to the list. I think this takes us to 1 Timothy 5. This one gets very, very, very narrow. Doesn't it, John?
Yeah, it sure does. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God.
This is pleasing to God, it says in another translation. Okay? How are we going to summarize this one? It pleases God when families take care of their own. It especially pleases God when children and grandchildren are taught to and to help parents and grandparents. There's an old short story I saw one time that talked about a guy who had children and he was dismissive of his own parents. And within a short period of time, he was old and his children were dismissive of him. It pleases God when within families, the families function in such a way that when care is needed, the families provide that care. And there's a teaching, a learning of how to do that that crosses generations. I think that was number 5, so that means that was letter E. So now I need number six. Hebrews 11, Eric.
For without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
Now this one's stated negatively. Can you turn it to a positive statement? What pleases God?
Faith.
Our faith. And if you wanted to say, sort of in the spirit of Colossians, our growing in faith. Do you remember the definition that Hebrews gives to faith? Faith is, you remember what it says? The evidence, my translation said, of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. He says in another place, there's going to come, I think in Paul says in Corinthians, there's going to come a time when faith becomes sight. It's no longer hidden. But love will continue. There comes a time when hope will be fulfilled, but love will continue. Right? Hebrews 12:28, Linda.
Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
That was 12:28, huh? Let me check, because there's a word I was listening for and I didn't hear that word. I think I took you to the right place. Try it again. You must be reading from a different translation, and I'm listening.
King James, because I forgot my Bible.
That's okay. I like King James.
Wherefore we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Okay, let us have grace. Is that what it says?
Yes.
And the next phrase is
whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Okay, have grace. Whereby we may. You guys looking at this in your translation? Does yours have something in place of the word grace? Mine says, let us therefore be grateful or thankful and use our gratitude or thankfulness to worship God in a way that pleases Him. I like the word grace there. But I'm not sure it communicates quite as well as gratitude and grateful, thankfulness. What pleases God? Oh, be careful. Grace or thankful or gratitude that leads us to worship in a way that pleases Him. He is pleased with worship that emerges from a grateful heart. And I think if you get only one half of that, whichever half you get, it's incomplete. He's grateful for worship. Worship that flows from gratitude. Have I captured the spirit? Those of you who've looked up this in your own translations, have I captured the spirit of what you're reading? Okay. Interesting. I'd forgotten that King James used that word at that spot, because that does hide that. Okay, Hebrews 13:16, Rhonda.
Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
It isn't sacrifices that pleasing. It is what?
Doing good and sharing what you have.
Yeah, and that's two different things. Look at doing good, and look at the very first one, doing what is right. People sometimes think this means doing what, doing good things for other people, as opposed to doing what is right versus doing what is wrong. I think there's a difference. And I think that the pairing of those things is more powerful if you see it that way. And I think that's the right way to see that.
Well, it's also interesting, Bill. It says, do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I mean,
somehow, in the Lord's eye,
it's got to be sacrificial.
Yeah. Now, what did we do last week? Remember what those of you who were here last week, what did we walk through? God's not looking for sacrifice. He's looking for these things. You hear a big echo in that. Yeah. The sacrifice of doing good in several different ways that could be defined, especially in sharing what you have, recognizing need and responding to it. Jesus talked about the day coming when in front of God's throne they were going to separate the sheep from the goats, and being a goat was not a good thing. What put you on the sheep side? Understanding properly and being able to talk about the doctrine of the Trinity? Was that what Jesus mentioned? I don't think so. Recognizing when human need existed and responding to it. Visiting the ones in prison. Caring for the sick. Praying for those who were in trouble. First Peter. Paul.
For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God.
Okay. What does that one say? There's a translation that puts a word in front of enduring, and I don't know that your translation did this. There's at least one translation out there that speaks of patiently enduring. There's enduring and there's patiently enduring, and I hear a difference when I listen to that. Patiently enduring what? Unjust treatment that results in suffering, yeah, but unjust treatment. There's a verse that we've read a couple of times in recent weeks where it says the day is going to come that people are going to praise God for the same things that today they're condemning you and they're punishing you. I think there's a connection between these two thoughts.
Patiently enduring unfair treatment.
There's a movie that's running right now. It's called Bully, and I haven't seen it yet. But I saw enough of that when I was growing up. I wasn't always tall. And I wasn't always big enough to fight back. And finally, somebody's beginning to address that. That's not the only form it takes, and there are lots worse forms that are out there. But there are people who endure treatment. Maybe I'll stop with that. 3 John, the Gospel of John, and then way back at the end of the Bible, there's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. This is 3 John. It's so short, It doesn't get chapters. So all you get are verses. So Cindy, I think you were going to do this one. 5 and 6.
Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They told you the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God.
That last little phrase, in a manner worthy of God, that's where this falls. My translation says, help them on their journey as God would approve. There's at least one other translation that says, do that in a way that pleases God. I'm just trying to capture that this is still on that same theme. So, what is it that pleases God? And for what it's worth, Paul, we're talking about you. We're talking about you. Just for fun, we're talking about you. More so, I think, than anybody else in the room. What pleases God? No.
Hospitality.
Not going out and spreading the word.
Hospitality, so they can
hospitality
go out
and support for those who go out. Right? Supporting missionaries. The cool thing about this church is we get to see some up front. We get to see a lot up front. Most churches don't get to do that. I can clearly remember there was a year, my wife refers to it as the only year in my life I've ever actually worked. You can get the details from her. But in that year, we were living in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We joined a little church that was just off campus at LSU. And there was a day, seems to me it was in the spring, when a couple was coming to the church, and they had been serving as missionaries in Africa. Okay? Remember the Swans? That's who it was. We knew, Roger, I think it was. I forget his wife's name now. One of the two had been a student at LSU, had attended this church while she was a student, or while he was a student, whichever one. And now here they were coming back. The church was just so excited. For a month ahead of time, they were just building to this thought that this couple was coming to visit them. Barbara and I were sitting there looking at this because Beverly, Roger and Beverly had been members of a Sunday school class we had taught before they went in the mission field, and we were the folks that if anything happened to them, we would take over the care of their children. We had missionaries when they go, if something happens to them, there has to be a plan for what happens with their kids. Somebody in the States has to sign, often it's a grandparent, something like that. We signed for Roger and Beverly's kids, that if something happened to them, that's who was coming. What's the big deal? I mean, great to see them, but this is just Roger and Beverly. But the idea was these were missionaries. And the love this church poured out. We almost have it too good here. Because missionaries are here part of us all the time. We don't have a sense of this. Maybe we're also talking a little bit about you. Because you're going out and beginning to do some things like this. And others of you have this kind of role from time to time. The ability to give support. Hospitality is, I think, the right word to use, and support, because it's not just financial. Praying for people. This particular passage, I think, is talking about people who come through. They're on their way someplace, and this is a layover spot. There didn't used to be safe hotels and other things to stay in. You'd have a place to stay, and you'd go this far. But the idea of supporting missionaries, that resonates with our church, but it pleases God when we do that.
And it's not... I'm going to say out there. I mean, out of honor, Baptist is not as common, but we take it for granted. My youngest daughter was on an university retreat about a couple months ago and was just sharing her heart. And she said people were amazed and said, my gosh, you were so mission-minded. And Becca's like, what are you
everybody?
Exactly. And when she told my older daughter, but Emily goes, duh, look at your DNA. And for Emily and Becca, it's no big deal. And I said, Becca, you need to talk to Paul, talk to Travis, talk to others in this church and say, thank you, thank you. We take it for granted.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Chuck.
I'm just an example of how to take it for granted. And it's my remiss, Steve, had mentioned to me, Chuck, and when you go downstairs, be sure to mention, you know, Denise got told about how he was going to West Virginia. And Steve said, well, Chuck, when you go down there, be sure to tell the class about what we accomplished last week on mission. Well, you know, it just comes to me now. You know, they went out there, you know, they did the ramp like they said they were going to do. You know, they were talking about scraping and painting the house and how they'd never get it done. They scraped and painted the whole house, finished it, had a day left over, fed 156 people at a church. You know, he drove home this morning, I think. You know.
He's here. I saw him.
Oh, he's here, but he didn't come here because he said, Chuck, I got nothing. I'm about to fall out. And you know, someone does something like that, and you know, I say, oh, okay, I'll say something.
Okay. Right. Let me make sure you see in the context. The Ten Commandments says if you want to just have your life go into the toilet, here's the places it's most likely to happen. Here are where the warning signs are put up. The bridge is out in this direction. You try to keep going, things are going to be awful. But Scripture also says, not quite so organized a way, there are things God is leading us towards that please Him when we respond. And that's what I'm trying to lay in front of you, Paul.
I was just going to say, as missionaries, there is so much support that people don't even think about that missionaries do receive. I think of when coming home, you have 3 or 4 months, and a church like this provides a home. You know, maybe we just think about here, we put a few months in here, pay the rent or whatever, but to a family coming home that needs rest and a little privacy and fellowship, it's great. Or when your kid gets sick.
Or a place to heal from brokenness, or a place to, that, yeah.
Or your kid's sick in Africa, you don't have to catch a first plane home. You could if you needed to, but that support is there. It is so astounding how God uses a church like this one.
And I need to be real careful because there's folks in Richmond who are holding the ropes way more tightly than we. We have the privilege of giving, and we have the privilege sometimes of getting to know, but Rhonda and some of the other folks like her, some folks in the first hour, who work to sort of be the ones who actually help make all that happen. 5,000-something missionaries, but we've also got these folks at home that are enabling all of that. And we're all partners in that. This last one's talking about that. Take a look at the list. What pleases God? Obeying His commandments by doing what's right. It pleases God to call and choose us. And there's a sense in Scripture that call comes and the choice is laid into the response. You heard that one verse we talked about. It pleases God when we begin to fill our lives with His wisdom, when we begin to grow in an understanding of what He wants us to do, when we walk worthy of the Lord and our relationship with Him, when the things that we do begin to be fruitful, which they will be if we're close to Him, when we increase in our knowledge of God. It pleases Him when we figure out how to pray for the people we don't like. And to pray is harder, maybe harder for them. Jesus said, everybody can pray for their friends. You pray for your enemies. And when we pray for our enemies, suddenly attitudes change and actions change. It pleases God when children and grandchildren are taught to help and do help parents and grandparents. When the functionality that families ought to have actually functions. It pleases God when we grow in our faith. It pleases Him when we have worship that we offer to Him that flows out of our gratitude for what He's done in our lives. It pleases Him when we do good and when we share what we have. It pleases Him when we patiently endure unfair treatment. And it pleases Him when we support and help those who have gone off in His name to work in other places. That's a pretty good list. Do you notice this is number one? You notice there's a blank for number two and number three? Okay, your job this week is somehow, you can do it online with an internet program, go get a searchable Bible, gateway.org or whatever it is has one. Yeah. And anyway, find one and try to see if you can look up what is God's will for us, that's question 3, And what does God want us to do? That's question two. Now, if you look closely, we've already spotted a little bit buried in the section in Colossians talking about that. Okay? But your assignment is to look at that, because the next time we're together, which I hope will be next Sunday, we'll begin to work on that last part as well.
Okay.
What does God want us to do? And what is God's will for us? There are a small number of verses that specifically say, this is God's will for you. And I want to go find those and make sure I put them in front of you. These I've done before. If you're really good and want to go back to November 30 of 2008, you can find it. I've done some of this before. But it's been a while and you guys are forgetful. So here we go. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for this good group of people that gathers here. We thank you for the love we have for each other, which grows out of your love for us. We thank you for the opportunities we have to listen, to read and understand, and then to begin to put into action what you're showing us. Teach us not just where the bridges are at, but where the bridges are calling, to make connections among people, to let us behave and act in ways that help people see you more clearly. And all this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.